Good evening, and a very Merry Christmas to you. I'm David Suchet, and I'm speaking to you direct from the BBC studios. I'm hugely excited to have been asked by the BBC to narrate tonight's amateur production of Peter Pan, performed by the recipients of this year's BBC Community Choice Award. So, before we begin, let's take a moment and meet the Cornley Polytechnic Drama Society.
The Cornley Polytechnic Drama Society is an amateur theatre group.
We're made up of people who do lots of different courses, but who come together in the evenings and at the weekends to create theatre.
I am Chris, I am the director.
I'm Robert, I'm the lead actor.
You're not the lead actor.
Well, I'm the best actor.
No one can understand you.
Right, I've been working as a stage manager for Corny for about 5 years now. And what these so-called BBC professionals need to learn, that when we're live, it's my stage.
Why were we selected?
Hard work, talent, and our previous high-quality productions.
Oh, and because of our cast member Max, whose aunt runs the BBC.
Our strengths, well, everyone's really keen.
Hmm?
Yeah, everyone's really committed.
Yeah, it's been good getting to know each other really well.
And, you know, now we're really close.
Yeah, really close.
Robert's niece is playing the lost boy Tootles. She's quite nervous about being on live TV, but Robert's coaching her, so she'll be fine.
Come on, Lucy, more confidence. You're going to ruin Christmas.
Just want to get through the whole thing without killing anyone.
That's your cue, Dennis! God, can we get him an earpiece?
Got a headset.
Would it be noticeable?
No.
We are confident this pantomime will run smoothly.
This is not a pantomime. It is a traditional Christmas vignette.
Oh, no, it isn't.
Ah.
Right, that's my cue. Here we go. See you on the other side.
An on-air sign has lit up in red. David walks through a door. BBC. Cornley Polytechnic Drama Society presents J.M. Barrie's Peter Pan. A young woman, Sandra, comes out on stage and crosses to a bunk bed. In a shower of white sparks, David emerges from behind a gilt chair and reads from a large book.
All children except one.
Another explosion gives him a fright. He steadies himself on the chair for a moment, then recovers his poise.
All children except one grow up. Wendy discovered that she would grow up when she was at a picnic and her mother said the words, "Oh, I wish you could stay like this forever." And then she knew. It is this very Wendy, along with her two brothers, Michael and John, who begin our story.
A spotlight just misses the three siblings, who edge into its light and strike a pose.
The setting is their bedroom on the third floor of a townhouse in Bloomsbury.
Come along, boys. Stop playing around. It's time for you to get into your bedclothes.
It's too early for bed, Wendy. You're turning into Mother.
Well, I should love to be like Mother.
Well, I shouldn't. That would be ever so dreary, Wendy.
John's right. I can't stand being cooped up in this boring old nursery. I'm 4 years old.
Michael, played by Max, is a foot taller.
Not every day can be an adventure, Michael. Now, it's time to get ready for bed. I can hear Father's footsteps.
Has anyone seen my cufflinks?
Oh, George, you are forever losing things.
They freeze.
Their father, George Darling, was a man of business. A little pompous, but with a kind heart.
I have searched
He was far less serene than their mother, Mary Darling, a genteel and elegant woman,
I have searched.
Although sometimes he forgot to show it. George loved them all dearly.
I have searched the house high and low. I put the thing down for a moment, and it is as if fairies have danced off with it.
Oh, Father, I would so love to have fairies skipping about the house.
I don't believe in fairies. Wendy, have you seen my cufflinks?
No, Father.
I mean, really, is it me or is the world going mad?
George, played by Chris, tries to hang his jacket, but it falls to the floor. Mary, played by Annie, goes.
I'll look in the drawing room, George.
Perhaps Nana has seen them, Father.
That creature is almost certainly the reason they are missing.
Wars!
Nana! Come here, girl. Come on, girl. Let's go.
I don't understand Nana. All this affection towards that dreadful animal. What about me? Where are my cufflinks?
Perhaps Liza has seen them.
The final member of the household was Liza, the darling's housekeeper. Different in every way to Mrs. Darling.
I found your cufflinks, Mr. Darling! You left them on the dresser!
A sweeter family you've never seen, with hearts as good as gold. And on this fateful evening, our story shall unfold.
David throws glitter into the air, then his chair slides off. Annie comes back on, still as Liza the maid.
Thank you, Liza. You have saved my evening. Now leave that beast alone, the three of you.
We're only petting her, Father.
That dog needs to be taught some discipline. Now, all of you, time for bed and to take your medicine. Fetch the medicine bottle, Nana. When I was small, I...
Nana, played by Robert in a dog costume, crawls headfirst into the flap in the door, which doesn't open. The dog paws at it before standing up and going through the door on two legs.
When I was small, I used to thank my mother and father for giving me medicine. I would say...
Tripping.
I would say thank you, kind parents, for giving me bottles to keep me well. Ah, here is Nana now. Bring me the medicine bottle, Nana.
Robert's stuck in the hole.
Bring me the medicine bottle, Nana.
Robert glares up at Chris, then places the brown medicine bottle in the wooden toy train that Chris had tripped over and shoves it across to him.
Thank you, Nana. Now fetch me a spoon.
Robert tries to back out, but seems to be stuck fast.
Liza!
Annie barges in.
Yes, Mr. Darling!
Liza, take that wretched animal outside and chain her to her kennel.
Come on, Nana! Outside!
Thank God that animal's gone.
Mary.
What's all this commotion, George?
Mary, my dear, nothing's wrong. The children were just getting into bed.
Where's Nana?
Liza locked her outside.
But she protects the children.
Protects them from what?
The boy who visits this room.
Oh, what nonsense.
Mother and I saw him the other evening. He slipped away through the window. Mother ran to slam it shut before he could escape, but he was too nimble. The window shut, and we caught just his shadow, which started dancing across the room.
A dancing shadow? Oh, really? Whatever will you come up with next?
I had Liza lock it in the chest. See for yourself, George. Liza has the key.
I shall get Liza to fetch the key. Liza?
Yes, Miss Wendy.
Have you the key to the chest?
I shall fetch it at once. Your cab's here, Mr. Darling.
Excellent. Let's go down.
Another cab's here, Mr. Darling.
Excellent. Let's go down.
A third cab's here, Mr. Darling.
Three cabs. One for Mary, one for me, and one for my hat. Let's go downstairs.
I shall fetch the key, Miss Wendy.
Thank you, Liza.
Mary, the cab's here.
The cab's here. I shall fetch my shawl.
Very good, Mary.
Where is that maid? Liza!
I found the key, Miss Wendy!
Now I can show you the shadow, Father.
Oh, Wendy, you really must grow up. There is no shadow.
A black cutout of a boy in a feathered cap.
That'll be all, Liza. I don't have time for this.
Please, look, Father.
Mary, the cab's here. We shall be late.
Trevor, the stage manager, is helping Annie change. She reappears fully dressed.
The cab's here. Yes, I found my shawl.
Very good. Come along, Mary. I'm going downstairs. Someone has to be grown up around here.
Chris picks up his jacket, which has been covering Robert, who's still stuck in the door. He strains to open it and eventually manages to make a small gap. Sandra and Annie watch as he squeezes himself in sideways, using his hands as leverage until one leg and most of his upper body are through. But his head seems too wide for the gap. He twists his head so it's sideways, then forces himself backwards and through, his ears catching on the door. The dress shoe falls off as he finally pulls his leg through. A hand reappears to grab it before the door closes.
All right, my dears, time to turn the lights out. Make sure you all... Ooh, ooh.
What is it, Mother?
I thought I saw a face at the window. Nothing there.
Trevor...
Must be my imagination.
Won't you sing us a lullaby, Mother? Oh. No, Dennis. Speak with feeling, for God's sake. No, no, no. Don't repeat that, you idiot.
Dennis is playing John, wearing a bulky headset.
Of course, my sweet.
The children climb into the three-tiered bunk.
Hush now, my darlings, don't you stir. Dream of a world of adventure. Be at peace, you'll be grown up one day. Till then, put your...
Trevor comes on with a power tool and goes over to Robert. They're joined by another member of stage crew who takes a hammer to the door. A third stagehand comes on with a visor, ear defenders, and a chainsaw. As he tries to cut Robert free, the bedroom's showered with sawdust. A man in a BBC t-shirt tries to intervene, but Trevor argues with him, and the man backs off. Having finished, the three stage crew creep off.
God, my sleep.
Annie smooths her hair, looking a little fraught.
That was beautiful, Mother.
Thank you, my dear.
Mother! Can anything harm us when the nightlight is lit?
Nothing precious.
Sandra's top tier of the bunk falls down onto Max's in the middle.
They are the eyes a mother leaves behind to guard her children.
Mother, you look pretty tonight.
Are you tucked in, Michael?
Yes, Mother.
Are you comfortable?
Yes! Mother!
And you, Wendy!
Yes, Mother.
They both fall down, squashing Dennis.
And you, sweet John, are you feeling sleepy? Good night, my dears. Dear nightlights that protect my sleeping babes, burn clear and steadfast tonight!
Annie tries the door, but it won't budge, so she crawls through the hole instead. But her dress opens at the back, revealing her bottom in patterned knickers. The windows above the bed fly open, and Peter Pan's brought in on a wire. He lands on the ground, only to be hoisted up once again. The Darling children watch him move around the room, limbs flailing helplessly. Finally, he lands and stands with his hands on his hips. Played by Jonathan, he's dressed in green and wears a feather in his pointed cap.
Thank heavens I didn't wake the children.
They shut their eyes.
Tinkerbell? Tink? Where are you? Have you found my shadow? Do you know where they put it?
Wearing wings, Annie runs on, attached to a cable. When she taps it, her skirt lights up blue.
There you are! Do you know where they put it?
She moves, pulling on Trevor, who's at the other end of the cable. She points to a wooden chest.
In here? Are you ready, Tink? Don't let it startle you. It's time to get my shadow back. Don't let it dance away!
It's Robert, wearing a full body skin suit that clings to his plump form. He climbs awkwardly out. He rests one foot on a box and dances, gyrating his hips. Jonathan tries to grab him, but he dances out of reach, then crawls through Jonathan's legs. Jonathan pulls a rug from beneath Robert, who lands on the floor in a seductive pose.
Aha! Got you! Now to stick you back where you belong. I'll stick you back on with... soap!
Boy, why are you crying?
Oh. I'm not crying. What's your name?
Wendy Moira Angela Darling. What's yours?
Peter Pan.
What are you doing?
I'm trying to stick my shadow back on.
You can't stick a shadow back on with soap. It must be sewn.
What is sewn?
I shall show you. There, it's done. Why don't you try it?
Wendy, it's done! Look, look! Oh, the cleverness of me!
I'll give you a kiss if you like.
Thank you.
Don't you know what a kiss is?
I shall know when you give it to me.
She gives him a silver thimble.
And now shall I give you a kiss?
If you please.
Not on stage!
Jonathan gives Sandra something.
An acorn. I shall wear it on a chain around my neck.
One's there already.
How old are you?
I don't know. Quite young. I ran away...
Robert takes his place.
I ran away the day I was born.
Ran away? Why?
I'll tell you for why.
I heard mother and father talking of what I was to be when I was a man. I want always to be a little boy and to have fun. So I ran away to Kensington Gardens and lived a long time among the fairies.
You know fairies, Peter?
Yes, but they're nearly all dead now. Children know such a lot now. Soon they don't believe in fairies. And every time a child says, I don't believe in fairies, there's a fairy somewhere that falls down dead.
He glides up to the window.
You can fly!
Of course I can.
Robert tries to climb up after him, but breaks a table.
Of course I can fly!
No, no, no!
Where on earth did you learn to do that?
In Neverland. I fly everywhere with my friends, the Lost Boys.
How thrilling.
Wendy, come away with me to Neverland.
Jonathan flies back to the floor, but Robert falls out of the window.
Oh, dear, I mustn't. Think of Mother. Besides, I can't fly.
I'll teach you.
Oh, how lovely to fly.
Robert comes in.
But is it far?
Not far at all. Just the other side of the stars.
Would you teach John and Michael to fly too?
Of course!
Robert had held his arm up like Jonathan to gesture towards the stars at the window, but both his arms caught fire from the candle. Trevor runs on with a blanket, but that catches fire too. The BBC worker comes on and sprays the pair all over with a fire extinguisher, but Trevor looks unimpressed.
Get off stage. Get off stage right now. What's wrong with you? Splaying me in the face like that.
Trevor marches off after the man, and Robert crawls over to the door, where he tries to force himself backwards through the square hole, but gets stuck.
Not again!
John! Michael! Wake up! There is a boy here who is to teach us to fly.
Fly! Oh! I should love to fly!
He shall take us to Neverland!
Neverland!
I say, can you really fly?
Look!
Oh my, how do you do it?
It's simple. You just need your happiest thoughts and a little bit of fairy dust.
Fairy dust? How delightful.
Brazenly, the crew attach wires to them.
Are we all ready to fly?
Just think of a lovely, wonderful thought and it will lift you into the air.
One, two, three.
They jump, but the harnesses rip their clothes from them and carry them into the air. Max is left in the bottom part of his pink playsuit, and Sandra and Dennis in just their underwear. Max lowers his trousers, revealing a pair of boxer shorts underneath. Then Dennis retrieves his headset from where it had fallen.
We're flying!
I feel light as air!
Whee!
It's time to go! Follow me to the window! Come on, Tink! Second to the right, and straight on till morning! Here we go!
Jonathan flies straight into a chimney stack, knocking it over. Then he crashes right through the face of Big Ben.
Come on, boys! Just believe and you can fly!
Holding hands, they fall straight down. Crouched on the rooftop with Max, Dennis flaps his arms feebly. Then Sandra grabs hold of Jonathan's waist, but his trousers slip off and she plummets. Still dangling from his wire, Jonathan uses his hands to protect his modesty.
Peter, wait for me!
Neverland, here we come!
David standing in front of his golden chair.
And so we arrive in the forests of Neverland, a world of infinite wonders. So as Peter flies with Wendy and the fairy Tink draws near, our tale shall continue and I shall disappear.
Another explosion startles him. Jonathan comes on with Sandra, who's now wearing a high-vis vest. Lucy's there as Tootles and Annie comes out as Tinkerbell.
Wendy, look! We're here! Hello, Tootles.
She runs off the stage.
Lucy, you are doing this.
Robert pushes her back on.
Peter.
I have to tell
you something.
Oh, yes. What is it you have to tell us, Tootles?
Captain Hook has kidnapped Tiger Lily!
He has? Then we must rescue her. She is our friend after all. Tink, go and find where they've taken her.
Annie shakes her body as she ducks down behind a tree stump. Then a tiny green ball of light appears and flies off to the left. Annie stands and walks off to the right.
Peter! Peter!
For God's sake!
He thumps a tree, causing a bough to come crashing down on top of Lucy. Horrified, Robert shrinks back into the wings.
Well, thank you, Tootles.
He lifts his panpipes to his lips as the tune finishes.
Oh, Peter, you play beautifully.
Yarr!
Yarr!
Quickly, into the hideout!
Dennis, as Mr. Smee, swings in on a rope with Annie, now also a pirate. Then Robert, who is Starkey, crashes into the monitors beside the stage. The colour bars appear. Then Clive Myrie at the BBC News desk, before the TV signal returns.
The glorious sound of a deserted forest. A cab.
We shall find the lost boys! Ah! You're listening to BBC Radio 3! That was a violin concerto in E minor by Johann Berg!
find the Lost Boys at the Mermaid's Lagoon. You may be right, Smee.
I'm loving angels instead. And through it...
Thank you, Mr. Smee! Most of all, I want Peter Pan. But he cut off my arm, Starkey.
Robert addresses the parrot on his arm.
Exactly. And flung my arm to a crocodile that happened to be passing by.
Dennis flounders, his headset having been removed.
Followed around ever since, Captain Hook.
That he has, Smee! That he has!
My lucky chance, it's swallowed a clock, Captain. So before it can reach you, you hear the tick-tock and bolt.
What are you doing with your pistol out, Mr. Smee?
I wouldn't want to be caught unawares, Captain.
Put that thing away, Smee! Or I'll strike you down with my hook!
Now, put that thing away, Smee! I'll strike you down with my hook! I'm Hook, you're Smee!
I'm John.
You're Smee! But soon I shall have the foolish boy within my grasp. Ah, revenge is a grand thing.
Oh, no, it isn't!
Robert cracks a smile.
Yes, it is. Oh, yes, it is.
Oh, no, it isn't!
It is!
Oh, no,
yes, it is! Yes, it is! Yes, it is! It is! Yes, it is! Of course it is! This is not a pantomime.
Oh, yes, it is!
Shut! Shut up! Don't boo me! How would you like it if I booed you? Is it? But hold, men, what's this? A cab!
Oh, no, it is!
Yes, it is! Yes, it is! I don't know why it is, but it is! Also, there's this! Something strange! Smoke coming out of this tree stump!
They gather around the tree stump, which eventually emits some smoke.
A chimney!
Listen, men, this plain Pan and the Lost Boys live here among the trees and underneath the ground.
You see these tracks down to the shore, men?
Aye, Cotton, I see them clear as day.
Follow them back to the Jolly Roger. Throw Tiger Lily to the lagoon. Put her on Maruna's rock and nab Pan.
Trevor tries to waft away the smoke that's filling the stage, but hits Chris by accident.
Avast belay when I appear, my fear there overtook. Naught's left upon your bones when you've shaken claws with hook.
He holds out his hand, but the hook is missing. So he sticks up a curved finger instead. David reappears and throws a handful of glitter.
And so the dastardly pirates set off with evil intent.
What is this place?
This is Maruna's Rock. Tink said that the pirates will be bringing Tiger Lily here.
Yo-ho! Yo-ho!
Here they come! Hide!
Robert, Dennis and Annie are in a small boat.
Oh, 'tis good to be upon the water, me lover. Now we must follow the captain's orders and...
Trevor comes on with cue cards.
And hoist Tiger Lily onto the rock and leave her there to drown.
The boat's suspended from Robert's shoulders, and he stands too soon, catching Dennis as he climbs out with Annie.
Any last words, Tiger Lily?
She throws off her overcoat, revealing a tasseled dress.
These words shan't be my last, as Peter Pan shall save me.
This is a terrible show of cowardice, Tiger. We thought you'd put up more of a fight.
Brave men do not sneak upon defenseless girls. You are true cowards.
You can't act. In this way, when the captain arrives, you have a sharp tongue now, but you shall tremble at the sight of Hook's impressive arse. Sonal of weapons, back aboard the Jolly Roger.
Poor Tiger Lily. Help her, Peter.
Of course I shall. I'll impersonate Hook. Watch.
Ahoy there, you lubbers!
'Tis the captain. He must be rowing out to us. Just put in Tiger Lily onto the rock, captain.
Release her, you blithering imbeciles. Cut her free.
Aye, captain. I'll cut her free. Yeah.
Robert drops the sword, which clatters onto the rocks. The boat structure he's wearing stops him from being able to pick it up. He looks pointedly at Dennis and gestures towards the blade with his head.
Why don't you cut her free?
I don't know what to say.
Just give me the sword.
What is a sword?
You just saw me dripping in the field.
What are you talking about?
Dennis offers him the oar.
Nathan! The suit!
Dennis's hat.
Where would I want your
hat?
Hey, I'm already wearing a hat! Everybody understood! Except for you! Everybody! Get. She's free, Captain.
He frees her with the oar.
But Starkey, the captain seems kind of out of sorts.
Nonsense. Here he comes, rowing out to us now.
Footage of Chris rowing on a real lake.
Where's Tiger Lily?
We let her go.
Let her go?
'Twas your orders, Captain.
You're blundering blockheads. I said no such thing.
Only pedalos on the lake.
You didn't give the orders. Who did?
In a swan pedalo.
Perhaps it be the dark spirit that haunts this here lagoon, Starkey.
6 o'clock, park's closed.
Oh, come on!
Spirit, Captain.
In a swimming pool.
Legend says this lagoon is haunted by the ghosts of drowned sailors.
Oh, hello, Chris.
Step ashore, Captain.
I shall.
In the film, Chris slips and falls into the pool. Then he appears on stage.
Hit it! Just hear me. I hear you. Who are you, stranger? Speak! I am James Hook, captain of the Jolly Roger.
Oh, no, you are not.
Oh, yes, he is.
No, he's not! He's not!
What's that noise, Captain?
A ticking clock. 'Tis the crocodile!
A man in a crocodile outfit slides in on a low trolley, so he appears to be swimming.
If you are Hook, then who am I? A codfish.
Cut, and that will do. We are done for the day. All right.
Robert and Chris's voices are still playing out.
It's about Jonathan and Sandra. He's playing Peter Pan and she's playing Wendy. They shouldn't be sleeping together.
He's supposed to be the boy who wouldn't grow up, not the boy who couldn't keep it in his pants. And she's just as bad, flirting with everybody. Oh. It's no wonder that Max is obsessed with her.
Yes, that's why he wanted to play Peter, to get closer to her.
But Max can't act! He's terrible as Michael. And the crocodile is playing it like a mammal.
I know, Robert. But we need his aunt. Yeah. She runs the BBC. It's the only reason he's here.
What a loser.
Oh, left the microphone on. Oh.
Max the crocodile stands and walks off, carrying his trolley. The others watch him go. Then there's an awkward pause.
"'Tis Peter Pan! Ah!
"'Tis I! Yeah.
Jonathan's attached to his wire again.
"'Vainglorious boy! "'I shall split your bones with my hook!'
They clash.
"'Nothing ever hurts me! "'I'm Peter Pan! "'And but...
"'Oh, no! Don't stop! No.
"'Come on!'
He's hoisted up and out of view.
"'To die by my blade, Pan!
"'To die would be an awfully big adventure!'
He falls to the floor and the cast freeze, open-mouthed. Trevor and another stagehand also look shocked. David comes out.
What's happened?
He just fell out of the thing.
What?
I fell out. Just keep going.
What?
Keep it going, keep it going!
Chewing on something and looking a little bewildered, David trots to the front of the stage, where he puts on a professional smile.
I'm terribly sorry, ladies and gentlemen, but we seem to have a slight difficulty here. Many of you may have noticed that Peter Pan took a rather nasty, unrehearsed fall there. Obviously, he wasn't thinking his happy thoughts.
Quickly, bring him through.
He's lost so much blood.
Anyhow, I'm sure Peter Pan's injuries will be less severe than those sustained in a production of Oliver the Musical, in which I appeared many years ago now. In the number, Boy for Sale... Yeah? Boy for Sale... Our over-enthusiastic Mr. Bumble tripped backwards onto one of the frailer workhouse children, crushing him.
He looks increasingly somber.
See, regrettably, my car was parked in the ambulance bay, and that prevented the paramedics from getting to the poor child. And very sadly, he passed away. And I can't help but feel partially responsible for this tragic event because it was, as I say, it was my car that stopped medical aid getting to the poor child, but also because...
He blinks rapidly, looking into the middle distance, then lowers his gaze.
I was playing Mr. Bumble.
As David starts to frown, his golden chair is slid out from the curtain behind him, and he opens his book.
Anyway, I think we're ready to begin again.
He fumbles in his jacket pocket, producing a handful of glitter.
So, back to Neverland.
I hear this evening's meal is imaginary.
So, it can be anything you want it to be.
Anything?
Anything. You can have steak or salami. You can have chestnuts or cheese. The only thing to remember is the magic word.
What?
Please.
So I can have anything I can think of?
Of course.
I could have a lobster or lettuce.
You could have pastry or pies.
I could have dumplings or damsons. Your taxi has arrived.
Give and take, then we can make whatever we can conceive. With faith and trust and fairy dust and the world of make-believe.
Wendy, where's Peter?
This is Neverland, Michael. He could be anywhere you want him to be. He could be fighting off pirates.
Lucy, who's dancing on crutches, collapses.
I could be a steam engine driver.
Or a sailor at sea.
You could be a prince fighting dragons.
Cut to camera three. I'll be a warrior winning the war.
I'll be a lawyer learning the law.
I'll be a pastor protecting the poor.
Teletubbies, Teletubbies.
Take, then we can make whatever we can conceive.
faith and trust and fairy dust. With sticks and stones and bags of bones. With ups and downs and all arounds. With hops and skips and broken bits.
The ensemble drop to the floor as Robert appears as the Shadow, now in an iridescent skin suit and a bowler hat. He does a snake-like dance, then the others get up and he runs off.
Wow!
And trust and fairy dust, and the world of make-believe, and the world of make-believe.
Dennis and Max lift Lucy up on their shoulders, but she topples backwards. Now the Darling children are alone.
I wish we could stay here forever.
Michael, you must not forget that we have a mother and father waiting for us back at home. Oh, I hear Peter outside. Quickly, all of you, you know how he likes you to meet him at the door.
They salute, facing the left-hand side of the stage, as a figure in black is brought in very slowly on a wire, his body in a standing position. It's Trevor, wearing Peter's cap and holding a folder.
Peter enters.
Peter, you're back.
Any adventures, Peter?
A battle with two tigers and a dozen pirates.
How exciting, Peter.
I love adventures, Wendy. Peter flies around the room showboating and full of mirth.
He's moved about the stage, crashing into the set, then spinning right round before finally grabbing onto a tree.
I shall tell you my tale. Peter lands nimbly.
Trevor's dumped on the floor. He gets to his feet.
This all sounds wonderful, but first you must have your dinner.
Peter begins to eat Tinkerbell.
Sandra raises her eyebrows, then Trevor looks back at his folder.
Seems most unhappy, Wendy.
Perhaps she is angry with me.
Fairies have...
He's lifted up. He grabs the table, tipping the plates onto the floor, but continues upside down.
Don't hold the order, because being so small, they've only one feeling at a time.
I fear she is jealous of me.
Trevor falls.
Not never hurts me, I'm Peter Pan.
He gets up and pulls the cap back on.
And Peter flies up onto the table.
He shakes his head at someone in the wings, then places a low stool next to the table.
To die would be an awfully big...
He goes to climb onto the table, but one of the planks on its surface is loose and swings up, hitting him in the face. Out cold, he hangs from the wire, his arms dangling limply beneath him. Robert comes on and checks for a pulse, then nods and gives a discreet thumbs up. Slowly, Trevor's lifted up, and Robert tries to push him towards the wing with a wooden pole. He's eventually taken off, then Robert goes, and Dennis reaches for the cap on the table.
Not you, Dennis! Walk away!
He throws his hands in the air and backs slowly off stage, leaving only Max and Sandra both looking a little shaken. Sandra looks to Max. Grinning, he points at himself, then dons the feathered cap and strikes a pose, hands on hips and chest puffed out.
When you die, you fly over the waters and the stars guide your way.
Oh, Peter.
I do so love adventures, Wendy.
Sound cue recording 21, Pan Pipes. Take one.
They freeze, listening.
Oh, hello, Max.
Sorry, I just wanted to ask about Peter Pan again.
Max, we have been over this. You're playing Michael Darling and the Crocodile.
But no one likes the Crocodile, and Peter gets to do all the fun stuff.
Like kissing Sandra? Remember, she's in a relationship.
I think I'm in love with Sandra. She's my soulmate.
Max, I need to finish recording the Pan Pipes.
Sorry.
Note, don't use take one.
Max glances at Sandra before raising the panpipes to his lips. His jaw trembles. Then David's pushed on in his chair, which stops suddenly, throwing him to the floor. He chucks a handful of glitter in the air as he gets up.
Meanwhile, Wendy began to understand it was time for her, John and Michael to fly home from Neverland.
Peter, if you would come back with me, I'm sure my mother and father would adopt you.
No, Wendy. I flew home once to see my mother and I found that the windows were barred and she'd forgotten all about me. And there was another little boy asleep in my bed.
In that case, I must leave at once. And you must kiss me goodbye, Peter.
He holds out her thimble.
Oh, Peter, I meant a real kiss.
A real kiss?
Don't you know what a real kiss is?
No, I do not.
Then I will show you.
As she steps closer, he gives a small smile, then closes his eyes for the kiss. But Jonathan appears, with a bandage around his head. Sandra goes to him and kisses him instead.
This is a real kiss?
Yes, Peter, a real kiss.
Max looks hurt. Dennis brings Lucy on in a wheelchair.
It's time for you all to go now. No fuss, no blubbering. I hope your mother's happy to see you all again. Be careful you don't run into pirates or that crocodile that nobody likes.
Max sulks.
But little did Peter, Wendy or the Lost Boys know that Hook lurked among the trees and his men kidnapped the children.
I'll grow up.
With them all captured, Hook crept into the clearing and with stealth, cunning, guile and craft, he added poison to the medicine draught.
Now, where is Peter Pan?
He's behind you!
Where is Peter Pan?
He's behind you!
I know! I know! I know he's behind me! I directed the show! I told him to go there! You have to let me find him! Idiots! Where is Peter? Oh, there he is! Medicine. Poison.
Chris keeps his eyes fixed on the poison bottle in his hand, which bears a skull and crossbones. He tries to remove the stopper with his hook. He carries on, eventually managing to work the very tip of his hook in between the bottle and the lip of the stopper. He starts to prise it off. He lifts his hook higher, but the stopper slips off and back into place.
You need a hand!
No, I do not need a hand!
Oh, yes, you
do! No, I don't!
He glares at the audience, his shoulders heaving.
Shut up! What is wrong with you people? This is a serious play! Decadence! You're ruining it! Yes, you are!
Let me do it.
Chris returns to the poison bottle, lifting the stopper up until it falls to the floor. He puts the poison down and picks up the medicine bottle, which also has a stopper. He slams it down and pours the poison over it instead. He stomps up the steps to the hideout.
Shut up!
Carrying the bottle of poison, he squeezes awkwardly through the little door in the tree trunk, then slams it shut. The darting green light appears, then Annie comes in her light-up dress, and Jonathan wakes up.
Oh, Wendy? Oh, Tink. Tinkerbell? What's the matter? Wendy and the boys captured by pirates. I'll rescue her. Where's my dagger?
She leaps, pulling Trevor on stage, then points to the table.
That? That's just my medicine. Poisoned? Who could have poisoned it? I promised I would drink it, and I will.
They fight over it.
Stop it! That's my medicine, not yours, and for me, Peter Pan, not the Tinkerbell the Fairy!
No.
The liquid splashes on her dress, and she judders, before collapsing in a shower of sparks. All the lights go out. The lights come back up. Annie's lying spread-eagled.
Tink? Tinkerbell? Tinkerbell.
Jonathan and Trevor go to her.
Tink, are you all right? Tinkerbell? Tinkerbell? Annie? Chris?
Chris and Dennis come on, along with the BBC crew member. Then Robert and David join them, standing around Annie, who's still not moving.
Electrocuted.
Who's the first aider?
Who's the first aider?
She's the first aider.
Sandra appears at the hideout door.
David!
What?
Call an ambulance and move your car.
David produces a set of car keys and hands them to Trevor, who walks off stage. Max wheels Lucy on, who's in a leg brace.
David, do you have something to cover?
What?
You're the professional cover!
David takes Chris's curly waxed moustache and puts it on, so he resembles Poirot. With his hands behind his back, he does the character's distinctive walk, taking short, mannered steps up and down the stage.
Mesdames et messieurs. It is not very usual for Poirot to be so near to the catastrophe.
Chris snatches the moustache back.
Thank you, David.
With a shrug, David goes as Trevor comes back on.
We have to believe in fairies!
Not now, Lucy. This is serious.
Lucy stands awkwardly.
I believe in fairies!
Grow up, Lucy!
I believe in fairies!
What are you doing, please?
Suddenly, Annie sits up, startling the cast.
Positions! Yes! Thank you! You saved Tinkerbell!
She looks a little woozy.
And now to rescue Wendy! Come on, Tink, to the pirate ship! It's hook or me this time!
The set revolves, revealing a ship containing Chris, Robert, Sandra, Max, and Dennis, who's dressed as John and holding an anchor.
What's
going on? Keep going.
The set continues to revolve to the Darling Children's bedroom, where the crew are arguing with Lucy and a paramedic. But they all start to swing their arms in time with the music. The hideout set is next to appear, containing Jonathan and Annie, who's now a pirate. They look into each other's eyes, then kiss passionately. Hook's ship comes round again, but still the set keeps revolving. Sandra marches off the pirate ship, and Dennis throws the anchor into the wings. The crew are still arguing, trying to fix the electrics. Trevor fetches the anchor as Sandra walks in on Jonathan and Annie.
Sandra, no, you don't understand.
Sandra wallops him, then wrestles with Annie. Trevor secures the anchor's rope backstage, then hooks the anchor into part of the revolving set as the ship reappears.
Day for day,
The revolving set finally comes to a halt.
How still the night is. Nothing sounds alive. A cab! Why is there a cab in the sea? Revenge will soon be mine.
Save us, Peter!
Quiet, you dogs, or I'll cast anchor in you. Now, will you join my crew or die in the light of the full moon?
They all look right, but the moon appears on the left.
We shall none of us ever be pirates.
Is that so, my dear? It'll be the plank for you, then. Ace me!
Dennis, you're wearing the wrong costume.
Get the plank ready, Mr. Kecko. Bring the first prisoner to the plank, Mr. Starkey.
I come.
Oh, be brave, Tootles.
Lucy's eyes widen.
Tootles, come.
Tootles.
Robert pushes her in her wheelchair onto the plank.
There's none can save him now.
There's one! Tis I, Peter Pan, the Avenger! I'll save him!
Jonathan lands on the plank, which tips, sending her hurtling forwards.
Pan!
Peter!
Snap! The crocodile is here! He knows your end is near!
Mac stands up on two legs and snaps with his hands.
Snap, snap, snap!
Surround them! This one's mine!
Dark and sinister man! Have at thee!
The anchor rope frays and snaps, and the set starts to turn again. On his wire, Jonathan's suspended on the left, and Chris chases him through into the children's bedroom. Something sparks, starting a small fire.
Fire! Stop panicking!
Max has removed the crocodile head. The ship's mast collapses on top of Robert. Dennis jumps ship. Meanwhile, Trevor's arguing with the BBC crew member. Trevor sprays him with the fire extinguisher. Then the pair cower on the bunk beds as the flames spread. Max stands on the table and gets hit in the face by the plank. The ship comes loose and crashes into the studio wall.
Hey kids, what is the term given to a person or group illegally distributing copyright material for personal profit?
Pirates.
Hook's ship goes right through the Egghead studio, and Jeremy Vine squints at it. Next, it passes behind Clive Myrie on the news.
The BBC has confirmed the cancellation of its community choice project.
The ship ploughs on into another studio, disturbing Teletubbies Lala and Po, who are by a Christmas tree. It bursts back onto the blackened Cornley set, and Max pulls Sandra to the floor. The Teletubby Po is at the helm.
You saved me! Peter, you saved all of us! You're a hero.
But I'm not Peter. I'm the crocodile.
She hugs him, and Po giggles. David crawls out from beneath the wreckage, but is hit by his golden chair as it slides into position. He slumps onto its back. Lucy steps forward. She throws down her crutches and picks up David's book, watched by the whole cast, including Po.
For God's sake.
Thus perished James Hook and his crew, devoured by the crocodile.
Snap, snap, snap.
Wendy, of course, had stood taking no part in the fight, though now she watched her hero with glistening eyes, and when he slept that night, she held him tight.
Max and Sandra kiss, then hug.
And now,
Sadly, it is time to bring an end to our tale. For we must leave Neverland, Peter, and Tinkerbell.
Annie runs across in her Tinkerbell outfit.
And return to that home from which three of our characters had taken flight so long ago. Liza sat by the window, and on seeing the children ran to fetch Mrs. Darling.
Annie comes out dressed as the maid, then quickly reappears as Mary.
Wendy, John, and the crocodile found the window open. Mr. Darling came rushing in from the yard to celebrate the homecoming of his dear ones. There could not have been a lovelier sight, but there was none there to see it, except for a strange boy who was sitting at the window.
Jonathan.
The children, Mr. and Mrs. Darling, and the crocodile, stood together, united in their newfound bliss. And perhaps it was at this moment they all realized that to live would be an awfully big adventure.
Lucy closes the book and the lights fade. The rest of the cast come on. The lights come up and Robert leads a disorderly bow.
Three, two, one.
They dance.